It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Everyone enjoys a good love story, and we talked with StoryCorps founder David Isay upon the release of his book, All There Is, Love Stories from StoryCorps. Since its founding in 2003, StoryCorps has collected and archived more than 45,000 interviews from 90,000 participants. With so many stories to choose from, we began by asking how he decided which stories to use.
You have a good point. There are a lot of stories. And actually, I have to say that because of the nature of a StoryCorps interview where people are talking about what's most important in their lives, I think in those 45,000 interviews, love stories probably showed up in basically every single one. So it was a kind of a massive undertaking to choose what stories would make it in. But it's not that different than the process of choosing what goes on Morning Edition every Friday. We have facilitators who are in the booth for every interview, and they will decide if there's an interview that has kind of a universal quality that makes it appropriate to share with other people. And I should say that we see every single StoryCorps interview as equally valuable, and we treat everyone as potentially a sacred moment in people's lives, a chance to sit with a loved one and listen to them and talk to them and put it in the Library of Congress so their great-great-great-great-grandkids can someday get to know their ancestors. So the facilitators will pick some stories that might be appropriate for a book and send it to New York, and we'll go through thousands of stories to pick the ones that end up in a compilation like All There Is. I don't know, there's maybe 40, 50 stories there. And these are stories that just explode off the page. They're these series of just extraordinarily memorable stories that are very much in line with what you hear, what we try to do on the radio on Friday, which is kind of finding poetry in the voices of regular people. It's just regular people with these very powerful stories of love. And also, I think, in many ways, StoryCorps is a project about collecting the wisdom of humanity. So you could also look at this book as sort of collected wisdom about what it takes to make a great relationship.
There is certainly a universality in a lot of these stories, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But in your opinion, what are the essential elements of a good love story?
It's a very good question. I think the essential elements of a great story in general is that, I mean, I think part of the power of StoryCorps is that you hear people being authentic with each other. Nobody comes to StoryCorps to get rich. Nobody comes to get famous. So in a way, it's kind of the opposite of reality TV, right? And I would say that those stories, to me, aren't great stories. But, you know, I think a story that's authentically told, that is that's told out with heart and passion and a little bit of drama mixed in certainly makes for a fantastic story. I also think that all of these stories and a great story will always kind of surprise you. So you're not going to know in the first paragraph where this thing is going to go. And that's part of the beauty of, I think, StoryCorps stories in general. One of the cool things also, I think, about reading the StoryCorps stories in a book is that at the end, you get to look at a picture of the people who've been speaking. And that's not something that you experience, obviously, listening to the radio. And I'm always, the first time, you know, I'll be working on a book and then eventually it'll all come together and I'll see the pictures with it. And I've always completely blown away by the fact that the people look completely different than what my preconceived notions of these people were. They might be younger when I thought they were older, or a different, you know, race, or maybe sometimes even a gay couple, and I didn't know from the content of the story. So that's also part of the kind of wonder of these things. And it's also, you know, and it's the poetry and the language. It's language that is just so beautiful and so evocative and so powerful. And put those things together and mix it up, and you've got a great story.
You know, it's funny because when I started reading the book, I would just go through the story and then see the picture and then be surprised by how the people didn't match my image of what they would look like. But then I started looking at the picture, so I would have the image in my head as
before
I was reading the story. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because one of the lessons that the facilitators who travel around collecting the wisdom of humanity for StoryCorps, they're in every single session. They used to serve a one-year tour of duty with us. Now they serve several years because training costs got too high. But one of the lessons they always come back with after they've been on the road collecting hundreds, sometimes thousands of stories is that if you think you can judge someone's internal life by the way they look, you're always, always going to be wrong.
What were some of your favorite stories? Without giving away too much here, what were the stories that really touched you the most, David?
Well, the book is divided into three sections: found, lost, love found, love lost, and found at last. And I mean, I think the StoryCorps has a reputation for making people cry, for better or worse. And I think, you know, many of the stories aren't sad, but there's something about these stories told authentically and people, kind of regular people living life to its fullest, that's very moving to people. But the stories in the lost section are sad, you know, and I think those were it's a very, very powerful section. I think of a woman named Beverly Eckert, who we have a big project with 9/11 families, and she lost her husband, a guy named Sean Rooney, on September 11th and recorded a tribute to him, which is incredibly moving and beautiful, and talks about how she didn't want that day, September 11th, 2001, to end, because she could always think to herself that it was a day where she woke up that morning and, you know, kissed her husband goodbye. Just a beautiful story. And then at the end of the story, it turns out that Beverly herself was killed in an airplane crash a couple years after doing the StoryCorps interview, when she was on her way to Buffalo to celebrate her husband's birthday. And, you know, I think that story, the beauty in her words and ending, reminds us all of a, you know, an important lesson of StoryCorps, which is how fragile life is and how we want to take the time to do the interviews with people we love when we can, whether through StoryCorps or doing it yourself. I think of a guy named Leroy Morgan, who was 85 years old, and tells the story of driving with his wife soon after they got married through Philadelphia. And they saw a road sign that said, six things to always do if you want a successful marriage. And it was one, these are things to say to your loved one. You look great. Can I help? Let's eat out. I was wrong. I'm sorry. And I love you. And he said those six rules guided their marriage for 53 years, 2 months and 5 days, and led him perfectly through the relationship. But every story, you know, there, this morning I was reading a story of early in the book, of a guy who was a toll collector who fell in love with the woman who was driving through his toll booth. And eventually he ended up putting a
she said,
am I going to find you? Yeah, he put an orange cone in front of his booth. And said that this would be like a candle in the window for you. You know, so it's these small, beautiful, you know, kind of romantic gestures that are pretty unforgettable.
We're talking with Dave Isay of StoryCorps about his latest compilation, All There Is, Love Stories from StoryCorps. I was struck, David, by some of the generational differences. There are certain universal aspects to these stories. And yet, in reading about particularly couples that met during World War II, or even in the 50s, they're talking about, right away, about the idea of getting married. That enters into the conversation very, very quickly. How much does that say about that particular era? Because it doesn't happen so much today.
Well, but I think that in these love stories, when there's often the sense of serendipity, though, and that in, you know, it's definitely true. I mean, I'm thinking of the first story in the book is about a couple that met and, you know, 3 days later they were married, right?
Right.
I think this was in, you know, World War II or pre-World War II, and they took a car and he forgot his money on their honeymoon, so they lived on hamburgers, beer, and love for 5 days or whatever it was. But with many of these stories, while the wedding may not happen immediately, that sense that the couple's going to be together forever is there from that first meeting. So yeah, I mean, I guess it's that people may not get married as quickly, but the sense of and these are all successful relationships, the sense of knowing who your partner is almost immediately is there throughout. I mean, I think of a story towards the end of the book, and it's this incredible star-crossed story of a guy who basically pursued this woman who he knew he was going to marry from meeting her when he was a 16-year-old at a roller skating rink. And she had moved to Japan and he joined the Marines, and through these battles and decades and eventually finally getting together. And again, for both of them, I mean, I think there was a knowledge from the first minute that eventually it would happen, although it took 30 years for them actually to get married.
The serendipity that you mentioned that plays a big part in all this. One of the things that I got from it that I think your readers will is that these people in many cases came so close to having it never happen for them, to never getting together. And you can kind of, you know, that sort of runs through the found and then also the lost, how thin the line is between finding and losing and maybe finding again, but maybe never finding again. having it never happen.
Yeah, and I think that certainly true of the Found at Last piece, that very often it does seem like it's not going to happen, and then it kind of comes up behind you and taps you on the back, and there is that love story. And of course, throughout all this, you know, because we're talking about life, that love is often taken unexpectedly, and the kind of struggles of trying to deal with that and figure out how to move forward and take the next step and wake up the next day.
As a final question, David, is there one particular story that touched you the most?
That's a tough question. It's similar for me to the broadcasts on public radio, that every Friday, the story that we broadcast last is kind of my favorite story. So for me, it's whatever story kind of I last read that's my favorite. I love these stories. They're my life, the StoryCorps stories. So it's hard to pick a single one. I wouldn't even try.
It's like trying to pick the best rose in the bouquet.
That's right. And it's funny, different stories touch different people for different reasons. So there's details and facets to each of these stories that are going to touch different people in different ways. And that's part of the beauty of a book like this and part of the beauty of StoryCorps.
And the book is All There Is, Love Stories from StoryCorps. We've been talking with StoryCorps founder and the author of All There Is, Dave Isay. Dave, joining us from New York, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh, and happy Valentine's Day to you.
Happy Valentine's Day, Paul. Great to talk to you.
And thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. If you missed any portion of this program or want to hear a past segment, you can go to our website at wesa.fm. Until next time, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.